Folks, and thank you for tuning in here today on this Friday the 17th of September 2021. Praise the Lord for another opportunity to share the things of God with you folks that are listening today and who will download and listen later as well. So praise the Lord for you. We honor God and thank God for you and give him all the glory, because we wouldn't be here You didn't listen to the program, right? There'd be no point in being here, would it? So, yeah, we're here for you, in other words. And so we're going to open up the program tonight with some news, some things going on in this old wicked world here. And it's amazing, all that we watch happening. But U.S. Evangelical Lutheran Church installed its first transgender bishop, Megan Rohrer. Evidently, a man that wants to be a woman, or a woman that wants to be a man. It was hard to tell from the picture. But anyway, this person was appointed Bishop of the Sierra Pacific Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church to serve for a 6-year term over nearly 200 Lutheran congregations in that area. Is that amazing? Now, what kind of an overseer would that be? Someone that doesn't even believe the Word of God. Yeah. Anyway, Pastor Greg Locke has been permanently banned from Twitter because simply he's against the vaccine and he's outspoken about it. And he said he's going to sue Twitter. So, well, I hope he can do well with that. But, yeah, they've banned him permanently. New York governor taking Cuomo's place, Kathy Hochul, says that this week that religious exemption is not a good reason to avoid the COVID vaccination. Okay, well, what evil is this woman going to bring forth in New York? She anti-God too, anti-Christ, pro-perversion, like her predecessor, like Cuomo was? I mean, yeah. Yeah, the state recently imposed one of the strictest state mandates requiring anyone 2 years old or older, even if they're vaccinated or non-vaccinated, to wear a face mask regardless of their vaccination status, in other words. Yeah. Poor New York, huh? I pray for you, Christian brothers and sisters there. Federal judge denies Biden's Department of Justice emergency demand to block Texas's six-week abortion ban. And this marks the latest setback for abortion murder advocates seeking to overturn the pro-life measure. Well, good for Texas that they're being able to stand up and keep on with what they've brought into law in Texas. And, of course, Biden is angry, and he says that the Republican governors are undermining the COVID safety response. No, he's undermining it from what I understand. But anyway, that's another story. But it is certainly the story of what's happening out there. Christian Republican House of Representatives Lauren Boebert of Colorado says she doesn't give a darn, this is her words, about mass mandate. Quote, because some of her colleagues like Pelosi and Alexander Ocasio-Cortez only wear masks for political theater. Like AOC, she saw her one day sit on the Capitol steps with a group of people without any social distancing and without any mask at all. But then somebody said, oh, we want to take a picture. And AOC said, oh, a picture? Well, let's all put on our masks now. And so that's what happened. And as soon as the picture taking was done, AOC said, let's take it off now. And so they're just a bunch of hypocrites, right? And so Lauren tells a conference this in Colorado Springs at Andrew Womack conference there, the Truth and Liberty Coalition conference last Saturday, I guess, was when it was. So, yeah, Representative Boebert owns Shooter's Grill, where the waitresses openly carry firearms while serving their customers in Rifle, Colorado. And people come from all over the world, she said, to come to that restaurant of hers and see a bunch of women waitresses toting firearms while they wait on people. It's interesting. Well, we had some deaths this week. But one that matters is Paul David Younger Cho died Tuesday. He was 85 years old, pastor of the world's largest megachurch in Seoul, South Korea, of Yodo Full Gospel Church in Seoul, South Korea. And yeah, has had quite an impact on the church over the years, and he's been quite a fast person who fasted and prayed a lot. And so, yeah, he's gone on to be with the Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord. Kodak Black, a rapper who was pardoned by President Trump, accepts Jesus as his Lord and Savior, he says. Well, praise the Lord for that. Well, the NFL cancels the national anthem performance by a Christian singer because she isn't vaccinated. Wow. Her name is Victoria Boyd, a bold black woman who is openly shared her refusal to take the jab. She bowled, bless her Lord, and ministered to her and give her 10 times the singing opportunities because of that. I mean, hey, God will bless her. And South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem takes aim at unbiblical Biden. That's right. She calls him unbiblical Biden, quote, and vaccine mandate, quote, I will see him in court. Right. She's not taking the bull from this woman. I mean, this man up in Washington that's claiming to be the president of the United States. So, yeah. So we welcome you to the program tonight, all of you. Thank you for tuning in. That was our news for this evening. And now we're going to pray, and we're going to get into what God has for us tonight, and then we'll do some deliverance for the time that we have remaining after that. So, again, thanks for tuning in. The Lord bless you tonight. And we just appreciate each and every listener and ask that God would minister to you by the power of his Spirit today. So let's go ahead and pray now as we get ready to get into what God is going to tell us tonight. Amen. And thank you, Lord, for the anointing tonight. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for great grace upon us here tonight, Father. We thank you for the grace of God, Lord, that it's not about our work. It is not about our, performance, but it's about you, Lord, and you giving out your wonderful grace to us in spite of ourselves, that you bless us and minister to us and strengthen us and use us for your glory. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus that cleanses all of us from all of our sins. We thank you for that ongoing work of the blood, Father. Oh, what a glorious, glorious wonder that is. And we praise you for that, Lord. We praise you, Lord, for fresh oil from heaven today, Father. We praise you for fresh anointing. We praise you, Lord, for ministering by the power of your Spirit. We pray for this country, Father, that they would wake up, Father, and that there would be a move of your Spirit, mighty move of your Spirit here in the United States of America, Lord, before this is all over, Father, and before you return for your church, Lord, in the clouds of glory, that we might be with you forever here and rule and reign for these 1,000 years as we come, as we're caught up to be with you, and then we come and rule and reign for 1,000 years, Lord. What a glorious thing. But, Lord, we thank you for a move of your Spirit, a move of God, a revival, a renewal, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit here in the earth, Father, before your return, and here in America, Father. We pray for a great awakening, Father. People will wake up their blindness and ignorance and rebellion against you, Lord, and humble themselves before a mighty God, Father. That we are totally dependent on you, Lord. That's humility. When we get to that place where we're just totally dependent on you, and Lord, I confess, I'm totally dependent upon you, Lord, tonight. And every night, and every day, and all the time, Father. Without you, I could do nothing. And so, Lord, I just humble myself and confess my dependence upon you, Lord God Almighty. And, Lord, we pray that the nation will do that as well, Lord. We pray that people will awake to righteousness, awake to you, Lord, and that there would be such a move of your Spirit. And Lord, it would include deliverance. It would include the setting of the captives free, Father, from the bondage that they're in to demons. And everybody is in bondage to demons. Everybody has their demons. Unless they've been delivered, they have their demons. And Lord, until we get rid of these things, we're going to fall into sometimes to their traps of evil. And so, Lord, we ask for grace to overcome these things and to see it, Lord, before they hit us, Lord, so that we can resist the devil and he will flee from us. And, Lord, that we'll see what these things are and we can get them all out. Father, we pray for wisdom and understanding about these things, revelation, Father, so that people can get themselves delivered. They can get these things cast out of them and they won't be such a stumbling block in their lives all the time. So we just rebuke the enemy tonight in Jesus' name. We rebuke him up there in the district of criminals up there, those spirits that are up there trying to run this country in the ground and destroy it and try to send as many to hell as they can. We rebuke those spirits up there. We pull them down in Jesus' name. And we come against them in the name of Jesus. And we say, no, devil, you're not going to do that. You're not going to prevail here. And we thank you, Lord, for you having the last word here, not these devils having the last word. We thank you for a glorious turnaround. We thank you, Lord, for moving in America, Father, that, Lord, the fields are ripe for the harvest, Lord. And so, Lord, we thank you for the harvester, that you send out the harvester. We send out the laborers. We thank you for harvest, Lord. Thank you for a mighty harvest and the work of signs and wonders and miracles, Father. Thank you for that as well. Thank you for the saving of our loved ones who have wandered from the way or who have never known the way. Father, we pray that they will come around and wake up out of their stupor and their blindness and serve you, Father, with all their heart, Father. That they would wake up out of their rebellion, Father, and repent and turn from their rebellion and get in alignment with you instead of in alignment with their devils and the world, Father. We pray for those who are on alcohol and drugs, Father, that they will hate that and come out of that, Father, and not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, Father. We pray for that. We pray for those that are bound in sexual sin, Father, that they will come out of their adultery or their fornicating and living together and cohabitating outside of marriage, Father. We pray for them to come out of that, Father, that they will awaken out of their sin, Father, and turn from their wicked ways, Father, so that they don't have to reap what they sowed, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, now we cover the program with the blood of Jesus. I ask you to minister right now, Father, by your Spirit. Cover every listener with the blood. We apply the blood over the program. We thank you for the angels of the Lord taking care of things in Jesus' name, Father. And we pray for those who are having trouble with their marriages, Father, that, Lord, I heard from one this week that's having some difficulties. And, Father, we pray for that situation, Lord, that you would turn that around for your glory, Father. And, Lord, that you'd bring a right relationship there and restore that marriage, Father. We know that the Christian homes are under attack and because we're Christian and the devil hates godly homes. And so we rebuke him off of Christian marriages here in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, that you will have your way, Father. And we just bind the enemy in Jesus' name and give him no place. The Bible says give no place to the devil. So we don't give you any place tonight in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, we commit this time to you. Ask that you'd have your way tonight and give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. All right, folks, let's go ahead and get into this. The title is The Way of Lying. The devil has a way of lying to manipulate the whole world and control it. And we're going to expose the enemy here because a lot of Christians are living in private bondages in their own mind. The mind is where the enemy builds so many big fortresses to hold people. And so the enemy has such a foothold in people's minds. And in reality, people's minds are the bondage zone for them in their life. Their mind is their bondage zone. And they are in bondage, the devil in their mind. And yeah, sure, some are not tormented as or troubled all the time, but it's enough and often enough to make life difficult for them. And often it is a demonic system of lies and half-truths that keep a person troubled and bothered in their mind. Yeah, the enemy knows how to do this. He's really gotten good at it all these years. He's really gotten evil at it, but, you know, he got experience, and he kept generation after generation in bondage. And so we live in a world system of darkness, and it is inevitable that some of that darkness is still in a person, in their mind, or that some of that darkness will invade a Christian's mind if it's not already there. So anxiety is released. Anxiety is released. And we have a lot of Christians that are, you know, living in anxiety. It's released about what could happen, what did happen in the past, and the negative expectations and possibilities about what might happen or be happening in the near future. And we don't fully understand our mind as a believer in the Lord, and we're learning about it. But we don't fully understand our minds and exactly how they work and how they're invaded by evil spirits and the darknesses of this world. If we did, I think we as Christians would have, would have less trouble in our mind. But what many fail to understand is the way to understand the mind and uncover the lies and hiding places of the enemy is to meditate and study and dwell on God's word way more than most Christians do. Right? I mean, think about that. What does the word do? Look, what is Satan? Satan's darkness. His demons are darkness. His fallen angels are darkness. And what does it say in Psalms 130? The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Notice, what do we need when we're in darkness? We need light, right? We need light. And his word give light. So the places of the world and demons in the mind are places of darkness. So to find these areas in the vast caverns of the mind, we need to turn the light on. Amen? Simply turn the light on, right? Turn the word on in your mind. The renewing of our mind. And yet today, for so many, they're turning on the world, and they're turning up the darkness. And yet, we, with so many believers compromising on and walking away from truth and long-held biblical truths, is it any wonder the lies and the darkness have proliferated today? Is it any wonder the question of the devil seems to be working so well? That's right. The devil will plant questions in your mind to manipulate you. And yes, the questioning, the what ifs, thus, what if this or that, right? So what if this or that happened? You know, I believe I'd be correct in saying that maybe 95% of you heard in your mind this last week, this week, I guess we'd say, a what if. And some of you, the what ifs were so strong that it actually caused you fear, anxiety, and stress and worry. What if I lose my job? What I won't be able to pay the house payment. What, I won't be able to pay the rent. What if I get sick or I can't work? Or what if I get some kind of disease? What if my family falls apart or my children fall away or don't serve God or never get saved or so-and-so quit liking or loving me? Or what if somebody or me gets hurt and can't work anymore? Can't do anything anymore. What if I become an invalid? What if I don't get any more money? What if I get robbed? What if I have a car wreck? What if such and such a relationship doesn't work out? What if God doesn't hear me or answer my prayers? What if my son or daughter or relative does this or that or doesn't do this or that? See? Well, look at all these different things. And we could add to that list. On and on it goes, just questioning. Did God truly say, right? Satan started this whole thing with questioning to Eve. Yeah, remember that in Genesis. Called Eve to start doubting by questioning. The enemy wants to cause us to doubt God by questioning, by saying, what if this happened? Well, how'd you know that, Pastor? Well, I believe that the Lord showed me this a long time ago. This is how he worked, the enemy. In fact, it happens all the time to Christians, and it causes many to have much sorrow and grief and needless anxieties and worry and even fear. How many times do the what ifs we often waste so much time dwelling on actually happen, though? Not that often. They don't always happen, see? And so, yet you sure spend a lot of time on it. People spend a lot of time worrying about it happening and thinking it's going to happen, but it doesn't happen so much of the time unless we give in to it and begin to believe it and speak it out of our mouth all the time. Then we could bring it to pass by our fear of it, right? Remember Job, what I greatly feared has come upon me. That's what he said in the Bible. So how many times do the what ifs that we often waste so much time dwelling on, really? How many times do they really go on? See? unless you're in agreement with them and you're confessing it all the time, not so much. But see, you get keep on thinking about it, keep on dwelling on it, then you're giving place to the devil. And he's got you right where he wants you. Let's go to Jeremiah 7, verse 8, if you're looking things up in the Bible here. Jeremiah 7, verse 8. It says here, behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Listen, there's no gain or profit dwelling on lying words, the what ifs of the devil, the lying words of the devil, the negative lying words. There's no profit from that. And it says you're going to do it. It says people are going to do this. It says, behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. See, people do that. Christians do that. See, what is a what if anyway? Well, it's not a solid truth. It means on the condition of. It's an unreality, seemingly a definite reality. See, but it's not a reality yet. In fact, in many of you, you consider it to have already happened the way you dwell on it all the time. A twisting of a biblical principle, see? Calling things that are not as though they are. See, because you start speaking it, a lot of people do. They speak it and they give place. They call it as though it is, even though it's not yet. And it becomes in their life, see, in so many cases. Right? Oh, what if my car breaks down? Oh, I'm sure it'll happen. If the odds are that it's going to break down. Well, no, no, no. Not if the blessing of the Lord's on your car. Huh? Let me show you what the what ifs are here. Let's go to Psalms 119. Psalms 119 again and look at verse 29. 119, verse 29. It says, remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy word graciously or thy law graciously. So remove from me the way of lying. See, what is the what if? They are the way of lying. That's why I titled it this. It is the way of lying. The author of the supposed happening and the enemy and his forces. See, that's who the author is. It is the way of lying. He attempts to wear out the saints with the what if. What if this happens? What if that happens? See? What if I have a car wreck? Surely you've been driving along and the what if comes suddenly and you put on your seatbelt and fear tells you, what if a drunk driver comes your way or some suicidal maniac tries to run head on with you? After all, there's only a thin yellow line painted between us and those other drivers over there. Yeah. Well, how can one overcome the what-ifs anyway? Well, I want to give you two keys to overcome the what-ifs here. Go back to Jeremiah 7. Go back there. Jeremiah 7, and look at verse 23 and 24. 23, but this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you, but they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walketh in their counsel and in the imaginations of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. See, if you believe a lie, you're going to be stubborn, and you're going to go backward and not forward. That's what's going to happen. See? And so we must obey God's voice and walk in his ways, walk in his word. And what are his ways concerning the what if? Well, the first key I want to give you, number one, is trust. We need to trust more in the Lord than we do in the things that he plants in our mind. The what if and the thoughts that come and the things that get planted in our mind to try to get us to think things that are not true. But could be true if the devil has his way, but they're not true at the moment necessarily. If look at Psalm 112:7, it says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. He's not going to have to be afraid of the evil tidings when they come planting themselves in your mind. Why is that? Well, because you're trusting in the Lord. So that's number one, trust in the Lord with all your heart. See, your heart is fixed. Now, the Hebrew word here is kun, and it means you've prepared your heart. You've established it. You're standing erect. You've made provision. You've made ready. You've set. You stand fast. You're set and standing fast in God, okay? Trusting in him. In other words, when the what ifs come, you already made yourself ready for them, and you've established your trust in the Lord above all your trust in anything and everything else, see? You've become one that trusts in the Lord with all their heart and leans not on their own understanding, right? I remember years ago, my daughter fasted one week when she was at home. And you know when you fast that you're very open to the spiritual realm, both sides, the good side, the bad, I mean God's side and the devil's side, right? You become aware of both. I mean, you become sensitive to the spiritual realm. Well, she saw a demon or something like that, a fallen angel or a demon, tapping her window with its ugly claw finger and gross glaring eyes looking in at her. And she told us, come God, and told her, hey, and we told her, hey, Ruth, you know, we told her, where was it? We asked her the question. And she said, well, outside my window. And I said, well, outside, right, not inside. And then I commanded it to go, and it left. But see, the what if says it's going to get to you. And I told her to trust God that it couldn't get to her. And so she went to sleep. We prayed. She went to sleep, had a good night's rest, and it bothered her no more that I'm aware of anyway. And so, yeah, amen. See, these things are outside trying to get in, and you could give place to the devil, but you don't have to give place to the devil. But we've all done it, but we don't have to do it. See, just trusting God is going to overcome and stop a lot of your attacks. Because where the devil has no fear to work with, what is he going to do? He can't get a foothold. Remember, perfect love casts out fear, see? And so he's looking to get fear in there somehow. And fear is an open door to all kinds of demonic problems. See? That's right. It's a whole kind of problem come because you get in fear. But if you start giving place to fear and panic, it only strengthens the attack, and they will take you for a ride of anxiety and fear. They will just manipulate you, and the spirits will have their way with you because you took the bait. You bought into what they planted your way. See? What they said against you, it worked. And the devil's just looking for that opportune time, see, when it works. See, when you take the bait, when you buy into what the way of lying that starts working on you, that's what he's looking for. That's what he's looking for. 2 Corinthians 1:9. Let's read that. It says, But we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. See, when we're attacked that way, we trust in God who raised the dead. Amen. I shall live and not die and proclaim the works of the Lord. Amen. With a long and healthy life, with a long life, you will satisfy me and show me your salvation. See, we got to declare the opposite of what the enemy's hit us with. He tried to send death our way. We declare the word of God. We trust in him. We don't trust in our circumstances. We don't trust in our situation. We don't trust in the people that are trying to send the evil our way, that are tools and pawns of demons and devils. Remember, trust has to be in God, not in ourselves. Like he said here, like Paul said, we didn't trust in ourselves, but we trusted in God. When we're facing the enemy, we don't trust in ourselves and our ability. We don't trust in our righteousness alone, you know, and our own ability to do anything. We trust in the Lord and his righteousness that he gave us, but not in our righteousness. All our righteousness is his filthy rags, remember? So why would we even think of trusting in our own good works? Yeah, you're going to fail. No, we trust in him. Our trust has to be directed toward God and his word. God alone can raise you up out of that dead condition. He can raise people up out of their dead condition. Some of your loved one might be in a dead condition, just living in a dead condition right now. Start calling them up out of that grave. Start calling them up out of that death in Jesus' name. Start speaking life to them and praying over them. Amen. Don't accept that as the final result. So many people get in fear. They accept what the devil's doing, and therefore they just strengthen what the devil does. By accepting what he's doing, you're strengthening it. Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. A lot of people not being fed today because they don't trust in God, and they're unstable. See? So they can't be fed. They're not able to receive the truth of the Word of God because they don't trust in God. They don't believe His Word is really true. They're double-minded. The double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. See? You can only dwell when you trust. See? You're just existing otherwise. Freaked out about all the trouble, the COVID, the government, the future, and all the stuff going on. Living in fear about it all, just anxiety, high stress, high anxiety. Oh, what am I going to do? I'm this, and then this situation. I haven't done this. I haven't prepared. I haven't done anything, and I'm this, and I'm that, and all worried about it. It's easy to slip over into that if you let yourself. But then you're not trusting in God when you do that. You're not trusting in Him. You're trusting in your own ability and your own failures to be have the ability to do something. This is the story of so many Christians' lives. They exist. They're just holding the fort, hoping Jesus will come quickly and rescue them and get them out of here. So they don't have to go through nothing, deal with nothing. Well, life is just one big trial and misery for them. No, you're not dwelling in the land and being fed. Because if you were, it would be just a misery for you. Wouldn't be that way for you. Look at verse 4 here in Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5. Psalm 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Hallelujah. Did you see those promises there? Turn it over to him. Turn your children over to him. Turn your husband, your wife over to him. Turn your relatives over to him. Turn the people at work over to him. Your way must become the way of the Lord, not the way of lying. We've lived in the way of lying too long. We don't want to live in a way of lying. Let's live in a way of truth. Amen? Live in a way of truth. Verse 39 here, Psalm 37, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. See, there it is again. You'll be saved. You'll be delivered when you trust in the Lord. God is telling us something over and over about trust. There is a lot of revelation here about trust. And I'm telling you, a lot of God's people don't trust in the Lord. They say they do, but their actions disprove what they're saying. They say they trust the Lord, yet they live in fear. They say they believe God for healing, yet they're running around thinking they're going to die. There's this horrible disease, and they're afraid, and they go out and get the jab and this, that, and the other because they're living in fear. See? You don't trust. And the second way to overcome the what-ifs is truth. Truth. See, we always get in trouble when we stop listening to the truth and walk it in the way of truth. Then we're open to the lies, right? And when we're open to lies and we start walking in the way of lying, the devil's way of lying to us, we start walking in that. Amen. Psalms 91:4, what does it say? It says, his truth shall be thy shield. You see that? The truth is going to shield us from the lies. It's going to protect us from the way of lying. His truth shall be thy shield. His truth shall be thy shield. Have you got your shield up today? The truth is the shield. Okay? And then, of course, we have in Ephesians the shield of faith, which faith is trusting in his truth, trusting in his word, trusting in him. Faith believes God, for the shield is thy truth. Amen? And according to Psalm 91:4, see? Amen. Amen. So where are you at with it? Where are you at with it? See, I'll just read the whole verse to you. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. His word. His word. So truth is so important. The devil said, well, what if you eat out or you sit on a commode in a restaurant and you pick up some horrible disease or you get COVID or some other disease or some kind of horrible thing gets on you? You say, what do? You say, truth, no evil shall befall me, nor plague come nigh my dwelling. Shut that what if up. My dwelling place is also within this body that I dwell in, right? The body is the temple of God. That's your dwelling, too, because you live in there. Your spirit is in there with God's spirit. And your soul is in there, your mind, will, and emotion. So no plague should come nigh my soul. No, come nigh my dwelling. Come on now. Psalms 119, over there again. Psalms 119, let's look at verse 30 here. Verse 30, 119, verse 30. Amen. We love the word of God. Life to those who find it, health to all their flesh. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have chosen the way of truth. What have you chosen today? Hey, the way of truth is the way of light. It dispels the darkness. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The life. Okay? And he says he's the light of the world. Amen? So he's the way, the truth, and the life, and he's also the light of the world. See, there is a way that seemeth right, but it is the way of the what if, a lie, an unreality, the way of lying. But I deserve it. It should happen. Well, Jesus already took the licking you deserve. He's not punishing you. You know, a lot of Christians, they believe that God is punishing them. They believe that that's God's way of talking to him. They'll just make him suffer. Well, that's a lie of the devil, see, because God doesn't make you suffer. He took your suffering on the cross, other than the suffering of persecution and the attacks of the enemy. But God isn't putting nothing on you physically. Never one time in the New Testament is sickness called suffering, okay? No, I'm just suffering for God. I have this horrible disease. God sent it on me to teach me something. That's a lie of the devil. He said, I'm come that you have life and have it more abundantly. Not that I'm come that you might have a whole bunch of sickness and disease and have that more abundantly, have more sickness and disease. He didn't say that. That's not scriptural. But a lot of Christians see God that way. They see God as harsh. They see God as mean. They see God as cruel. And they see God as one that he corrects them with sicknesses. And I just got sick because God's trying to teach me something. That's a lie of the devil. You just listen to a religious spirit. That's all that is, a religious spirit. Oh, I just got so diseased, and God's trying to tell me something. I just know that's why I've had this thing come upon me, because God's trying to talk to me. Now, that's not the way God talks to his children. That's not the way God instructs his children, okay? We need to wake up to things scripturally. This is not the old covenant. This is the new covenant, okay? A better covenant. All right. But you say, well, I deserve it. It just happened to me because I've messed up so bad. No, no, no. Jesus took your punishment on the cross. Everything you deserve, he took it. Amen? So walk in the way of truth. Because Christians get in trouble to the degree that they believe a lie. To whatever degree you're believing a lie, that's how much trouble you're going to have with the devil. That's how much trouble you're going to get yourself into. And the devil's going to have an open door. To whatever degree you believe a lie. Okay? Oh, yeah. That's right. So let's hear this, what God wants to say to us today here, because, hey, this is through his word. Go to 1 Samuel. Let's look at this. This is a well-known story in the Bible that we can always learn from. Amen. You say, well, I've heard it before. Well, hear it again, because it's always got something more you can get out of it. I mean, if you've heard something 30 times, you can hear it again, and God will still show you something. Yeah, David was gone away from his family's and possessions in 1 Samuel 30. He was gone and his soldiers were gone with him. All that he and his men held dear to them, their family, their children, their stuff that they owned, everything, their animals. And when they got back, they found it all gone, the possessions, the women, the children, because the Amalekites had come and taken it all from them. They'd even burned the city of Ziklag down. Let's go read. Here, so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. No more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive. That's terrible. Your wives taken captive, right? And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son, for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in his God. The what ifs were there, and it looked like the devil had won. What if I never see my family again? What if I never get my stuff back? What if I never get my animals back? What if I never get my children back, my wife? But the word of the Lord is the same to us today as it was to David then. See, when the enemy has attacked your body with sickness, when the enemy, your family, appears to be falling apart, and you seem to be mentally distraught and depressed, and when it looks like there's going to be no money, and you seem to be looking at it all and losing it, over the situations and circumstances of life, and when it seems your enemies are many more than your friends, and we could go on and on and on, what did Jesus tell him to do? Verse 8, he tells him what to do, and David inquired of the Lord. See, finally, he inquired of the Lord, and he said, what shall I do, God? Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, God answered you. Hey, if you get your mind off your circumstances and situation, God will answer you. God will answer you. But you got to quit looking at you and your situation and your stuff and how bad it looks. See, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Isn't it a problem sometimes that we just don't see what God has to say about things? That we just go on and do our thing? Wow. We all have gotten into some messes that way, myself included, right? We hadn't waited on the Lord to see what God has to say about it. Folks, it's time for you to pursue what God has given you. The enemy is keeping from you. You will overtake the enemy, and then you will possess what is the God given to you. Amen. Amen. Maybe you've had a hard week, felt like you'd be stoned. Felt like you just wasn't going to make it. Hey, it's time to rise up and pursue the enemy and overtake him and recover all. For God has promised you abundant life. That's right. He's made some mighty promises to you. Look at verse 18 and 19. We see the goodness of God. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. Everybody say that out loud. I will recover all that the enemy stolen from me. Amen? We're going to recover. We're going to recover. In verse 26, and when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, behold, a present for you, the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. See, when we receive, we're going to have more than enough to give to others as well. See, God has promised. And what has God promised you? Isn't it time to pursue it? Isn't it time to cast off the what if, to quit dwelling on the way of lying and living the way of truth and trust and light? The two T's, trusting and truth, is going to overcome the lies of the what ifs. Oh, what if this happened? Oh, my. Oh, yeah. Hey, God is bigger than the enemy's lie in your life. Trust and truth. Trust and truth. Think about that. trust in the Lord with all your heart. Depend upon the truth. Where is truth found? The truth is found in the Word of God. That's the truth. The truth is found in Jesus. He is the truth. Amen. But there's something we must understand better and have a greater revelation of it if we're going to take back our mind from the darkest of lives and the fears of the enemy. How many want to take back your mind? If you don't, then let the devil have it. But hey, I don't want the devil having my mind. He's had it enough times. He's attacked it enough times. Jesus' name, this is my mind, not the devil's mind. And I rebuke him off of my mind. And you should be rebuking him off of your mind. Amen? Because your mind is your mind. It's not the devil's mind. Okay? So, we need to take back from the darkness and lies and the fears and the anxieties and the, all the things that go on in the mind, the lust of the mind. We can have everything else this world has to offer, and even some of the things of God, but if we are not secure in this area of our mind, we're going to continue to succumb to the tactics of a demon. Because through knowing this and living in it, what I'm getting ready to talk about, we can stop the control and the invasion of fear. This power can make the enemy back down from us and run the other direction. How many want to see the enemy run in the other direction? How many know we need to see the enemy run in the other direction? We don't need to be letting him have the dominance in our lives. What can this be that everyone is looking for and seems that most never find and enjoy the benefit of it? For the benefits of it are the greatest in the universe, and Satan and his evil darkness forces are separated from it forever and have none of it. What am I talking about? What am I talking about here? It's something that everybody wants, but most people never get. Or they get very little of it if they get any. And they have many substitutes for it, but it's not the real thing. Because Satan has lots of substitutes, you know that. So what am I talking about? Have you guessed it yet? Love. God is love. The greatest of all is love. Have you ever thought about the songs that are written and sung on the radio, the secular songs? What is the main topic of most secular songs? Something that is still beyond the power and the grasp of mere man by himself. Real love. This is what mankind cries out for, yet this real love seems to elude them. You ever thought about this? Who was the one closest to Jesus? There was the 70 that went out and did signs and wonders and cast out devils. And then there was the 12. Then there was the 3, Peter, James, and John. And then there was John. John the Beloved, the one closest to Jesus. In the books he wrote, the ones that John wrote, it tells us the most about the love of God, the real love of God. And, you know, after they tried to kill him so many times, and from what we understand about history, they boiled him in oil. They couldn't kill him. They banished him out to the Isle of Patmos. And then after a while, they brought him back, and he would still go and speak in the church that he pastored. They pretty much had to carry him in. And he would just come in there, and he would just say, God is love, and such an anointing would be in there that people just were just gloriously ministered to. From what we've read about the history of John. So John knew love, real love, agape love. See, this tells me that the closer you are to Jesus, the more revelation that you will have about real love, and the more you will know that you are love. Amen? Oh, yeah. See, all people, we have three massive walls that we languish in our prison of loneliness. We are all very lonely people that tell the truth about things. Okay? And so these three greatest hindrances to love and receiving it, they're very simple, but they're in all of us. And some of them more in one than in the other, but one of them may be more in one and another one in more of another person, but still, everybody faces them. And what are these three things? Well, number one, fear to let down our walls. because we've all been hurt and we don't want to get hurt again. So we don't want to let down our wall. We don't even want to let them down to God, see, because people have hurt us, and, well, we don't know that God won't hurt us. We don't know that, you know, we don't differentiate too well between God and the people that have hurt us. And guilt. Oh, I've done so much wrong. I've sinned so much in my lifetime. I've done all this. I've done all that. I've done all this. See, and guilt, having guilt. And then inferiority. How could anyone really love me? Oh, why would he even save me? Why would he even choose me? Why? How could they love me? How could God love me? See? So these three big walls and obstacles in people's lives is receiving the real love of God. And I'm not talking about the love like the world, which they give the name, the Greeks had the name for those, Eros and Phileo. That's not the love of God. The kind of love that God had, they had to come up with a new word for that. They didn't have a word for the God kind of love. So they came up with a new word, agape. Three words for love. We only have one word in the English language, but we really don't do love justice as a word. And most people think sex is love. Well, that's not. We'll talk about that more in a minute. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, let's read verse 4 and 5. Ephesians 2, verse 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus right now. And yet there's no reason for his love. God's love for us, there's no reason except himself. I mean, it is an uncaused love. What could cause God to love you and me? Can you figure that one out? Why in the world would God ever choose to love somebody as sinful and messed up as all of us? And yet he did. And in fact, so much so for God to love the world that he gave his only begotten son. See, it's an uncaused, unconditional love. And again, the Greeks had no word to describe this kind of love. So they had to make up a new word, brand new word. And they called it agape. And it is a love freely given without any consideration of the lovableness or the merit of the object of its love. And I tell you, we didn't have any merit. We didn't have any lovableness. We were very unlovable. And we were unmeritous of his love. If that's the word, unmerited of his love. Love, real love. Oh, saints of God, how we need to receive more of that, how we need more revelation on that, how we need more understanding. The suicide rate among young people is the third highest killer for them. Why? Because they're crying out for love. Somebody love me. Somebody see me. Somebody notice me. Somebody pay attention to me. I exist. Doesn't anybody care for me? That's what they say. And so they don't get it because their own parents don't have it to give because they don't even know what real love is. And so, therefore, they go throughout life chasing something that the devil presents as carrot before them and keeps taking it on and on and on. They take a bite here or there, but it's never the real thing and it never fully satisfies them. The majority of our hospital beds are occupied by people who are incapacitated because of mental and crippling emotional problems. Yes. They don't feel love. Someone loved me. Someone cared for me because of me, not for what I could do for them, what they can get out of me. Not for my body, not for my money. Yeah. Most people could relate to the words of Napoleon, right? Napoleon Bonaparte, when he was in exile, he said, no one ever really loved me, not even my mother. Wow, that's a sad condition to be in, right? Your own mother doesn't even love him. He didn't believe it anyway. He didn't believe his mother loved him. Yet he didn't know God. But he unfortunately concluded that there was no such thing as real love in this world. Wow. So we have searched for true love and have been deceived, for we have searched among mankind, and mankind can only love themselves. Love has been the object of all people's dreams, and it is the most sought-after experience in life. Men and women have lived for it, suffered for it, died for it, yet seldom have any of them truly experienced the true love of God, the agape, the true love. Why? Because true love is only found in love, and only one is love. God is love, and that's where the true love is. And if you don't get it that way, you don't have the real thing. You don't have the real thing. You have a substitute. You have a counterfeit. You have a pacifier, but not the real thing. See? It's only found in one, and that one that is love is God. God is love. That is the very nature and essence of God. What an essence that is. Can you even imagine such an essence of that? It's hard to, because we don't understand true love. We don't understand that kind of love. 1 John 4:8. You remember this scripture? Well, you should, because it answers a lot of questions. It says, "Ye are God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." I read verse 4. Let me jump on down. "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested as the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Look at verse 16. "And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." Verse 18. Remember that one? "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." In other words, you don't really know love. You've not been matured in love. You don't have the revelation of love, because you're still in fear. That tells me that you don't. You're walking around in fear and anxiety and the what-ifs all the time. You know God? Love, really? Let's look at understanding God's real love, because, you know, perfect love, when you get the revelation of love, you get the maturity of that love, you start getting a revelation of it, an understanding of it, you don't walk in fear anymore. You don't walk in that fear. Let's go to understanding real love a little more. Number one, God's love makes the unacceptable acceptable. You feel unacceptable. You probably feel unacceptable now at times. But it makes you acceptable. It loves what it does, not like for love is not, you know, it's not like. It's love. It loves the person it does, in other words, not like the person. For love is not like. It's love. Love is not like. People think love is like. So unlike human love, it never fails. It never withdraws itself. How many times have you had people withdraw their love from you, or what they thought was love and you thought was love? "Well, you didn't perform up to my expectations, so I don't offer my love to you today." Yeah. "You didn't do what I wanted you to do, so I don't love you." Yeah. That's not love. Okay? No, it has nothing whatsoever to do with your performance or your lack of performance. God's love doesn't have anything to do with that. He loves us no matter which way the wind blows. It does not rest upon our performance or our duty, but upon the faithful performance of Jesus. And Jesus already did his faithful performance. He came and died and bore the punishment and the sins of the whole world because of love for God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit so loved the world, see, that he came, that he sent himself, that he came to earth to die for us because of love, see. That was before you ever became a Christian, see. This love is poured out on us in spite of what we see or discover in ourselves, in spite of the fact that you got demons tonight. He loves you in spite of the fact that sometimes your demons manifest and it's not pretty. When you allow the manifestation of your demons, or it just seems like they somehow sometimes manifest, even when you're trying not to allow their manifestation, they do it. How many know what I'm talking about? Seems like you've done everything to prevent it, and then they do it anyway. They manifest. and it gets to be ugly. But see, he loved you anyway, in spite of your demon. It's absolutely unconditional love, uncaused. He chose to love us. He made a choice. And for many, they don't receive this love because the devil robs them of the reality of it. Because the devils hate love. Oh, and deliverance, when we start loving on the person, they don't. The demons don't like that. They don't like that. They hate the love. Lord, pour out your love on them. And they can't stand it, the demons. They get really restless. They get mad. They start manifesting. It's something that the demons no longer possess. Nor can they ever possess it again. They are truly the loveless. Demons are the loveless. They don't have any love. They can't love anybody because they don't have it to give anymore. It's long since gone from the devil. They don't have it. They can't have it. There's no redemption for the devil and for his forces of evil. They offer substitutes, but it always leaves people empty and is still a part of the way of lying, part of the lie. Sex is not love. And yet demons tell you it is. And people run from sex partner, looking for love, looking for a father that they didn't have, looking for a mother they didn't have, looking for something they didn't have growing up. Sex partner to sex partner. Yeah. And somehow it eludes them still. Somehow. And the loveless devil, and that's what they are, continue to deceive the masses of the humanity and lead them down a loveless path to hell. And that is so sad. But that is true. That's so true that hell enlarges itself, the Bible says. It enlarges itself. And more people go in there than planned. So that it enlarges itself. It had to be enlarged. Right? Oh. So sad. So sad. Leading them all down that path. And love still is not found. Why? Because it's only found in Jesus. It's only found in the Father. It's only found in the Holy Spirit. No demonic substitute will ever bring fulfillment. Only a temporal buzz. Sex is a physical and emotional experience, folks. Love is what? Not that. Love is a spiritual reality. It's not a physical and emotional experience. Okay? Now, love, true love of God can be involved in an emotional experience, in a sexual experience, but for the most part, it is not. Sex is not true love. Okay? It's emotional. You're involved emotionally, and you say you love this person, right? But it's not very often the real love. Now, it can be. It can be involved in that. Real love can be involved in that. Okay? But many times it is not. And so no wonder it's not in sex alone. Because love is a spiritual reality and experience, not a physical and emotional experience. So no wonder it's not in sex alone. There must be the spiritual component, the spiritual reality for the physical and emotional reality to have real love in it. Truly, only a Christian couple can even have that kind of love in a sexual relationship. And only a small percentage of Christian couples have the agape love of God experienced in the sexual relationship. Again, phileo and eros, but eros is the sexual type of love. Phileo. But who can really understand agape? It only comes by revelation knowledge from God by the Holy Spirit. Only God can teach us agape. Only God can bring revelation and understanding of agape love. Yes. And no one that I've ever met has had the full revelation of agape love. No minister, and I've met a lot of ministers. I've had a lot of ministers speak at my conferences. Not one of them had the full revelation of agape love, myself included. I don't have the full revelation of that love. It's still unveiling itself. It's still coming to me by revelation and understanding of the Holy Spirit. See? It's a progressive revelation, and none of us have the full revelation of the love of God. Because how many of you know have the full revelation of God himself? Does anybody? Well, God is love. Then, see, you don't have it either. None of us have the full understanding of God. None of us have the full revelation of God. And if you do, then you know love. You have the full revelation of love because God is love. And that right there, you can ponder that for weeks and months and not have the full revelation of God is love. If you think on that, meditate on that day and night, think about that, study the word about that, you still don't have it. It takes a long, long time. I don't think we'll have it fully until we stand before him and stand in his presence. Then we'll begin to know. Even as we are known, we shall be known. And we shall know as we are known. And no one, again, has the full revelation. Yeah. Right. God is love. It is a progressive revelation. Much of it, like I said, we're not going to know it till we're in his presence forever, eternity, right? And the lover, Jesus, is the only friend that you'll ever have here on earth who totally understands you and your motives and your ways that you think. I know I'm misunderstood. Even sometimes by my wife, I'm misunderstood. I try to put things into words. I try to explain what's going on inside of me, and I fail sometimes. Just like I'm sure you have failed sometimes in that area, right? Trying to express yourself. But Jesus, he totally understands. He totally understands. Totally understands you, your motives, and what you really mean, even though you try to say what you really mean, but it doesn't always come out the way you really mean it. And no matter how hard and how much you try to explain yourself and how you think and feel and how you try to explain how you think and feel to other people, they are limited in their understanding of you. Yet he knows you, he understands you, and he still loves you. That's right. How could he do that? You, me. He does. That's awesome. And the demons just hate that. They cannot stand it because they don't have any love. They live in a total darkness. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and our spirit is in there. And yet the demons, they don't want none of that. They don't want it. It troubles them. It irritates them. It pushes them away. They hate real love. They hate it because they hate God. And they're of their father, the devil. See, they chose him to follow him. So he knows you. He understands you. He still loves you. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, he loves us so much. And there has no room for fear in that perfect love. The more revelation we get of that love, the less fear we're going to walk in. Amen? Amen. So let's keep getting that revelation. Keep getting that understanding. 1 Corinthians 13:12. Says here, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even also as I am known, as also I am known. That's what I quoted to you, and I've now read it to you. Let's go to Psalm 94:11. Psalm 94:11. And it says here, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of a man, that they are vanity. The Lord knoweth that they're vanity, yet he loves us. Do you believe that? Well, I do. And it's amazing grace. You have one friend who fully knows, understands you, and loves you in spite of it all, in spite of it all, in spite of your vain thoughts, in spite of your conspiring, in spite of whatever goes on inside your mind. He still loves you. He doesn't leave you. He doesn't forsake you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's right. You mean if I'm going down the road in a 60-mile-an-hour zone at 70 miles an hour, he doesn't leave me? A lot of Christians believe he does because, oh, he's breaking the law. God left. Well, no. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You think that God leaves you every time you sin? The Bible says you could grieve the Holy Spirit. It didn't say he's going to leave you. It didn't say he's going to leave you. You can grieve him, but he don't leave. Come on now. He said, I will never leave you. He knows you're going to sin. He knows your frame. He knows your weaknesses. He knows. And yet he doesn't leave you. Oh, other people look at you and easily pass judgment on you as they witness your failures, your weaknesses, all the stuff wrong with you. They're always so sure that they would never act like you did. They would never be like you. They could never be like you are. And so they judge you. And they're critical of you, and they don't like you, and that's different things. that it's so short. They would never say what you said. But you know what? Jesus never condemned you. He just keeps on loving you. He's been there. Okay? He suffered in this earth, right? The temptations that we have. Hebrews 4:15. Remember that scripture? Hebrews 4:15. Let's go refresh our memory on it. Refresh your memory. What does it say? It said, "But we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." See, you sinned, you gave in to lust, you fell into adultery, you fell into fornication, you fell into masturbation and pornography and all these different things. But he didn't. He was tempted, though. He was tempted, but he didn't fall into it. See? He didn't fall into temptation like we have, right? Like we have fallen into sin. We have fallen into this. And because of this, verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and grace, find grace to help in time of need, and in time of temptation, in time of need, in time of whatever situation. You can come boldly before the throne of grace because of that he went through what we went through. He was tempted in all ways like as we are." See, to experience this real love of God is to receive true boldness that ends all fear. See, fear has mental anguish because it fears punishment. Oh, I don't deserve God's love. I don't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve, blah, 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 blah. And all that old condemnation stuff, all that religious stuff goes after you, right? But perfect love casts out fear because it fears punishment. It fears judgment. And through love, it's replaced with holy confidence and holy boldness. I have boldness that even when I sin, you know, that the Lord still loves me, that I'm still right with God. Oh, yeah, I may need to confess a sin. I may need to deal with it, but I still know he loves me. I know he hasn't left me. I know he doesn't run off. He says, "Look at that awful sinner." No, I'm not a sinner anymore. I'm a saint. So he's not going to leave the saint. He's not going to abandon us because we fall into temptation. Yeah. But a lot of Christians think he does. That's not scriptural. Not scriptural. We have the holy boldness. Love shows us. It casts out that fear that you're not going to make it because look at how many sins you've committed. Look at what you're in right now. Look at all this stuff that you keep on repeating in life. But perfect love casts out that fear that you're not going to make it to heaven. You're not going to be saved. You've committed the unpardonable sin. Well, perfect love casts out fear. For fear has torment. Fear fears judgment. It fears, you know, it has torment. It's tormented. It thinks it's not going to make it. Thinks it's not going to, you know, be saved. See, God came to love that little frustrated, frightened, and confused little you hidden away inside behind these big walls of fear, insecurity, and guilt. He came to love you. He came to love you. Others may criticize your weaknesses, but Jesus is only concerned about you and how he loves you. See? Oh, yeah. See, he knows what it's like to be misunderstood and condemned without a chance to give his side and accused wrongly. He knows what that means. And you've been through it. He knows what it is. He knows. He's gone through it. He's suffered the temptations just like you have. Oh, yeah, he can identify with the human race. He knows what it is for people to have demons, even though he never had a demon, because he never sinned. And sin is alive, and it lieth at the door, and its desire is for you. But he lied at his door, but he couldn't get in. But he still had the temptations from the outside. Still had the temptations from the outside. Hallelujah. You don't have to hide or wear a mask with Jesus. No truth about you is ever going to cause him to quit loving you and accepting you. The song is so true that we've been looking for love in all the wrong places because we haven't. We haven't looked for it in the Word of God. We haven't found it. If we haven't looked for it in God the Father, we haven't found it. Yes, you've been in a far land, maybe wasting your substance, from very life away and riotous living, empty, vain living, the vanity of humankind. Yeah, the prodigal, the lost, the running from God. running from truth, running from love, embracing the way of the lion, the way of lion. He patiently waits for you with arms wide open, outstretched, ready to kill the fatted calf, to feed you with his word, right? The fatted calf, the word of God. And to put a ring on your finger, the authority, give you that authority over the devil and all the power the wicked wants. He's ready to give it all to you. And to give you a home, where I am, there you shall be also, a dwelling place in him. I dwell in God, he in me, right? Oh, yeah, he's just waiting. His arms are wide open. He's ready. Yeah, he may correct you, but his correction is only out of infinite love for you and for your very best in this life and forever. Yes, he may correct it, but the correction is through his word. The word of God is profitable for reproof, for instruction, for correction. That's what the word of God is. He doesn't go around beating people with a baseball bat, putting physical infirmities on them to correct them and teach them something. That is not scriptural. You cannot prove that out of the Bible, out of the New Covenant. No. His love for you is an everlasting love. An everlasting, an unfailing love. His love for you is your everlasting possession too as a Christian. Oh, it flows out of God to fill you, to overflowing. And then it will, for those who choose, spill out of you like the rivers of living water to all those people around you who will receive it. See, you've got it. You're a carrier. You're infected with it. You may not have the revelation of the love, but that love is in there, shed abroad in your heart, and it'll be shed out further if you allow it to, and you'll seek it and seek him who is love with all your heart. See, oh, yeah, he has more to be revealed. And some Christians, they're bored with their Christianity. That needs to stop, folks. You bored with Christianity? You haven't even touched it. If you're bored with it, you haven't even seen the half of it. I'll tell you what. I'm certainly getting older as a person, and I'm still digging it out. There's so much more, and I haven't gotten bored with it yet after 30-some years of being a Christian, or wait a minute, more than 30, 40-some years of being a Christian. And I'm not bored with it. So what's up with these people that are bored with their Christianity? Well, I don't feel like going to church anymore. I don't feel like fellowshipping with the believers. Okay. Something's wrong with your relationship. Something's not being fulfilled there. Something's missing. Perhaps you haven't jumped into the love of God. You have never got the revelation of love. Or even a partial revelation, because we certainly, none of us have the full revelation of it. It's ongoing. Oh, my, bored Christian? I don't feel like reading the Bible. Well, see, you succumb to the way of lying. You succumb to the attack of demons. You don't feel like reading the Bible. That's your life source. My words are life to those who find it and health to all their flesh. What's with you that you don't want to read your Bible? What's with you that you don't want to hear the words of Jesus? You'd rather go run and find somebody to give you a prophetic word or a pathetic word, right? Because you don't want to read the word of the Lord. He'll give you a prophetic word if you get in the word. You'll find all kinds of prophetic words in there. He'll speak to you all kinds of things that you thought, well, I've never seen that. Well, I never saw that before. Wow, you're speaking to me, Lord. But you have to get into it. You have to desire his word. You have to desire his life, his love, his grace. I mean, these are treasures hidden in the pages of the book, the word of God. Spiritual book, it's a living book. It's not dead words. It's alive. And the Spirit quickeneth them and maketh alive to you, see. But the words are still living and they're alive right now. But see, the Spirit quickens them as they activate them, as you get them into you, by the power of the Spirit of God within you. And we want God's word to be alive to us, and it will for those who are hungry for it. Oh, I've got to read the Bible again, I guess, because the pastor said I ought to read my Bible. Now, you just missed it altogether. If that's your attitude about it, it isn't because the pastor said you ought to read the Bible. It isn't because I said I read the Bible, people ought to read the word. If you're doing it just for that, you're missing it. You read it because you want to know him. You want to know his love. You want to know what authority you have in Christ Jesus. You want to know who you are, what you have, where you're going, what it consists of. Mainly, you want to know him better. Because when you know him better, right, all these other things are added unto you. Amen? Amen. Deliverance is even magnified. As we'll get in the Word, I mean, some people come for deliverance. They never pick up their Bible. They just want easy fix. They want to get rid of their demons, get rid of their trouble, get rid of the problems of their flesh quickly. And yet, do they really want to get rid of them? Sometimes they really do because they begin to get the best of them and they're getting worried about it. But other times, they don't really want to get rid of them. They just want a relief, a temporal relief from the situation they've gotten into through their demon. Oh, yeah, I've been dealing with deliverance for a long time, 30-some years of deliverance ministry, and so I certainly know why people come for deliverance in many cases and why others come and why some don't come, and on the list goes, but that's another story for another time. Yeah, his love is for you, and it's everlasting. Amen. It's everlasting. It's so powerful that it triumphs over evil. And the Word said the world will know that you are different, that you are God's people by the love you have one for another, the love of God when it starts manifesting one for another. When we start loving one another as Christians, which we don't see much of that today, do we? We don't see enough of it, that's for sure. We see very little of it. We see a lot of fighting among Christians, disagreement, and doctrinal differences, and the list can go on and on of all these different reasons we don't get along, different denominations, different religious beliefs, different this, different that. Oh. But they will know we're Christians by the love that we have one for another. So something's wrong in the church because we're not loving one another as we ought to. Oh, let down your walls today, saint. Let love in. Let touch you. Get out of the way of lying. Get out of that way. Quit walking in that way. Walk in a way of truth. Walk in a way of truth. Okay? Let his love fill you today so that you can love your friend, your family, your loved one. And let those walls down. Let those insecurities go. Let that guilt go. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus today. That's a demon trying to work you into a place where you feel unworthy and condemned all the time, and therefore you can't walk in the things of God when you have condemnation. God said there's therefore now no condemnation, but see, the devil keeps dumping it on you. And for you, sometimes you think there is a bunch of condemnation, but there isn't any for those who walk in Christ Jesus in the Spirit, not after the flesh. See? But what are we doing? Where are we going today? Do you know where you're going? You know what's going on in your life? We need to wake up, folks. Wake up to love. Love will bring us through the dark days ahead. The world's going to have some dark days. The church is going to shine brighter and brighter, but they're going to have persecution. But we got to understand that we're not above the persecutions of Christ, the sufferings of Christ, which was persecution, not sickness and disease. That's a lie of the devil and religion. But persecution, we will have that kind of suffering. We've all been persecuted already, probably a lot of us have, not maybe not all, because in America a lot of people have eluded persecution, but nowadays they're not so much. More persecution be released. What are you going to do? You're going to fall away because of persecution? Will it start getting more and more intense? We have an anti-Christ administration right now. They persecute Christians. They hate Christianity, true Christianity. They're afraid of you. They cast out devils, believe in the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the word of God, and using it powerfully. We could use it against them, right? We could pray, Lord, let the days be few and let another take their office, Psalms 107. We can pray that way. They're afraid of you, therefore they hate you, because the demons in them are afraid that you might walk in your authority and they might lose their political power, right? Because they lust after power. They're demons of political power. They're demons that want power over people to rule over people. And so this is an all-out war. All-out war. We got to be ready. We got to know how to fight. We got to know our word in order to fight. Like who would know unless somebody told you that it's Psalm 107, that scripture exists. And there are other scriptures there, too, that exist for warfare. There are many things in the book of Psalms that you could use in as a warfare manual, spiritual battle. That's what we're engaged in. The enemy is using people to battle you into the ground. And literally, that's right, literally, to destroy you if he can. Okay? Oh, yeah, we need to engage the enemy and not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ or his love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that you sent your word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. See, we were on the road to destruction, but love rescued us. His word, the word, Jesus came. He sent his word. He healed us and delivered us from our destruction so that we're no longer on the road to destruction, but we're on the road to life. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for life and love. We thank you for greater revelation and understanding of your love. And as we understand that, we know that our forgiveness is sure and steadfast, and there's no devil stealing that from us. We know that you forgive us all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, you even bring us to the place of deliverance from these sins. And we thank you that it's the children's bread, and we can partake of that deliverance, Lord, to set us free from these besetting sins, these spirits that are activating these sins in our lives and causing us to give place to the devil and to fall into temptation. Well, we thank you that the angels of the Lord encamp round about us, and they're for us, and they're on our side, and they're working against the enemy for us, especially as we believe God and put them to work in Jesus' name. We thank you for deliverance time coming up here in just a few minutes here as we go into some time of deliverance. We thank you for all that you've done here tonight. Thank you for these words of life that you've given me to share. Father, we praise you and glorify your name. And now, Lord, we thank you for what you're doing now through deliverance in a moment here. And we in advance, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, praise the Lord. We're going to come right back here in a few minutes here, and we're going to do some deliverance for a little while, okay? And then we will say goodnight after that. But, hey, we've got a few minutes left, and so we will do a little bit of deliverance, and then we will say goodnight. Amen? Thank you for listening tonight. Thank you for being here. I know that God loves you so much that it is beyond the words that I could say, but he is excellent with his love, and we belong to him. We believe in him. We trust in him, and so we always want to just praise his name. We always want to just exalt him and lift him up, right? Amen. I do. I do. I want to confess him as my Lord, my Savior. I want to lift my hands up and praise his name, dance before the Lord, shout, and be excited about our God because, hey, we've got something to be excited about. He's coming back. Amen. Coming back. All right. We'll be right back in a minute.
mighty hand you lift up and you pull us out. You set our feet upon solid ground. Solid ground. Lost in the wave of your power, cover this whole land with your grace. Melt hearts of stone so they will seek your face. Come like a mighty wave. Come like a mighty wave. Lord, start a fire in our hearts, burning with desire to share your love. Come and unite us, help us win the love. Come like a mighty wave. Come like a mighty wave. Come like a mighty wave. Come like a mighty wave.
Amen. Praise the Lord God Almighty. All right, we're going to do some deliverance now. For the remainder of our time together here tonight, we go against the enemy. We come against these wicked spirits tonight. And we tell you, you got to go. You're losing your house. You can't stay there anymore. We rebuke you right now in the name of Jesus to come against these wicked spirits. These spirits that tell you lies, the spirit of tormenting guilt. You come out right now. Tormenting guilt. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. These lying spirits. Come out all the way out. Come out. Tormenting guilt. All that guilt. You got to come out in the name of Jesus right now. The spirits of guilt. I bind you. Come out. 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 Come out of there. Up and out of there. All that guilt. Loose them and let them go. All the way up out of there in Jesus' name right now. Guilt, guilty spirits, condemnatory spirits, unworthy spirits, come out. Inferiority spirits, I bind you. We come against you. Come out of there. All the way out. Be weakened by the blood of Jesus right now. Be weakened and come out. You're defeated by the blood right now. Come out. Come out of there. All the way out. Come on. All the way out. All those guilty spirits, all those inferiority spirits, come out. Come out. Insecurity. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All the way out. Out. Come 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 out. Be weakened by the blood of Jesus. You got to go right now. Come out of there. All the way out. all the way up out of there. Go in the name of Jesus right now. In the name of Jesus, all the way. Come out, you spirits of despair. Come out. Come out all the way up out of there. Go in Jesus' name. Come out of there. All the way. Blockages to love. Blockages to the love of God. There's spirits that are trying to block you from experiencing his love. We command those spirits to come out now. Come out now in Jesus' name right now. Blockage to love. Blockage to love. Come out. Blockage to receiving love from the Father. Come out in the name of Jesus right now. I rebuke those spirits that are in the way, trying to camp around your spirit, block you from receiving the love of the Father, block you from experiencing his love. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. We break the curses of those generational blockages in the family line. Well, we're just a harsh family. We just don't show love in this family. You don't know anything about it. Come out, all the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Go, go. A lot of people are raised in family with no affection whatsoever, with no holding, no loving, no telling them you love them, no, nothing. Yeah. And even though that it may not have been the love of the Father type of love, it still wasn't even any kind of love. So come out all the way out. Come out. All the blockages to love, generational curses of no love. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. All the way out. Spirit of harshness, come out. Spirit of harshness, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out all the way, those harsh spirits. Go all the way up out of there. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Keep coming out. Go, go all the way. Anxiety, you come out. Anxiety, go. Right now, loose them. Let them go. Spirit of anxiety, I bind you. I break your hold. You come up out of there. Call for G-Pound. Get these things moving. Come on. All the way out. All that anxiety. Go in Jesus' name. All the way. Come out. Come out, anxiety. Come out. Tension. Come out. Stress. Come out. Come out of there. All the way out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Worry. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. That fear that hath torment. You come out. All that fear. Come out. Come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of there, all the way out. Come out in Jesus' name. Go, fear, go, come out, fear. Come out, 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 come out. Out of there, all the way out. Come on out, all the way. Come on, move. All that fear, all that fear. Come out, come out, come out. All that worry, come out. Worrying about things, worrying about the family, the future, life in general. Come out. All the way out. Go, go, go. All that worry spirit. Come out, worry. Come out, worry. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way out. Come on, out of there. Arrested development. Those spirits that won't let you mature to grow up into Christ and walk in the fullness of what he has for you. Come out. That arrested development keeps you arrested in your development and spiritual growth. You come out. We break the curse of arrested development over you. Come out in the name of Jesus right now. Come out in Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go all the way out. All the way up out of there. Go, go. Keep going. Keep moving. Up out of there. Go, go, go. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus right now. All the way out, up and out, up and out. Lord, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Go, you got to go. All these demons have to go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Spirits of insanity, go. Come out. Come out of the mind. Come out. All insanity, come out. All mental trauma, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of there, come out. Mental trauma, mind-binding spirits, spirits that are binding up your mind, come out of the mind, come out of the mind, come out. Mind-binding spirits that bind you, break your hold, and command you to come all the way out of there. Go in Jesus' name. Those mind-binding spirits, loose the people, let them go. Come out, 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 all the way out. All the way out of it. Go in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Go. We break the curses of whoredom and harlotry over people who have participated in that type of lifestyle, the looser lifestyle, the promiscuity. We break the curse of promiscuity over you. Come out. All those spirits of promiscuity, looking for love, still hadn't found it. Come out all the way out, or the fullness of it anyway. Come out. Come on all the way out. All that promiscuity. Go. Come out. All these things are hindrances to closer walk with Jesus. So they have to go in the name of Jesus right now. Promiscuity, come out. Boredom, harlotry, come out. All the way out. Go in Jesus' name. Come out. Keep coming out. The blood of Jesus against you. You have to go right now. Come out. Promiscuity, come out. Spirits of divorce. We break the curses of divorce too. Come out. Those spirits that torment you. Come out of divorce. Come out. Go, spirits of divorce. We break the curses of divorce. Come out. Jesus' name. All the way out. The pain, the trauma of divorces. You come out all the way out. Go. Come out. Keep coming out. In Jesus' name. All the way out. Come out in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus against you right now. All the way out. We break those word curses spoken over you. We break all the negative words that people have been speaking over you right now. We cancel the assignment over you. We cancel, cut, and sever, and break, and rip off those negative word curses off of you right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that they are not. They come to nothing. They will not come to pass. We cancel these assignments of negative words, people speaking words. You know, words are speaking all the time, and they're just blessing and cursing. People are blessing and cursing and don't even know it sometimes. But those words are going out there, and they have power. So we break the power of those words in Jesus' name and send them back where they came from. We don't receive those negative words, those curses of words in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Those make-believe fantasy spirits, you come out. Make-believe, daydreaming, fantasy, come out. Come out right now. Come on. All that make-believe, fantasy, game-playing, role-playing. Come out. 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 All the way out. Go. Those escapism spirits that try to cause you to escape into your mind or into some fantasy world. Come out. Those escape spirits. Come out. 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 Come out, all the way out, all the way out. The lies of reincarnation, that lie, we break that spirit, command that to go. Reincarnation, come out. Reincarnation, you come out of there. Go. It is appointed that a man wants to die after that, the judgment. There's no reincarnation. Come out, all the way out. Go, coming back as a cow or goat or pig or something, or some other person, come out. That's all a lie of a devil, come out. You don't get a second chance. Once you go through in this life, that's it. It's over. You made your choices. It's over. You either pick God or you pick the devil and yourself. Come out. All the way out. Go. Come out. 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 All the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You got to keep moving. Keep moving. Every one of you. All the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name, go. We may break any voodoo, any black magic. You go right now. Come out. Any vain imagination spirits, you go all the way out. Any fear of facing reality, you come out. Come out. The spirit of fear keep you sheltered from reality. The fear of facing reality, you come out. Come out now. Go. Come out. Spirit of death and darkness, you come out. Spirit of death and darkness, come out now. Come out now. Try to keep you living in that darkness, the devil's darkness. He wants to keep you living in that darkness. We break the curse of darkness. We speak light into your life right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for releasing light where there was darkness, peace where there was turmoil. Come out, all the way out. Keep coming out, all that darkness, all that spirit of death. Come out, 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 come out. Come out now, all the way out. Suicidal, come out. In Jesus' name, come out of this. Suicidal spirit, come out. All the way out. Death wish, wanting to die. Lord, just take me home. I want to die. I don't want to live any longer. You come out right now. You're a lying demon. You're a suicidal death wish spirit. Come out. All the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out now. Come out now. All the way out. All the way out. Keep going. Keep going. Come on. All the way out. Fear of reality. Keep going. All the way out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Fear of reality. You have to go. Come on. Voodoo, hexes, vexes, spells, adjacent, black magic. You break those curses over you right now. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Keep coming out. Move in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus is against these demons today. This is the children's bread. It belongs to the children of God. You have to go. You have to go. We're eating bread tonight. You got to go, demons. You got to go. Come out, out of there. All the way out. All the way out. We break any blood oaths, secret clubs, secret societies. We break that. In Jesus' name, Job's daughters, we break the curse of that. Go. In Jesus' name, masonry, Freemasonry, spirits, go, go, go. All the way out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Catholicism, spirits, go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Bondage to nuns, bondage to priests, come out. Bondage to the rosary, we break those rosary spirits, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Go all the way out. Come 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 out. Keep coming out. All the way out. You are defeated, demons. You are defeated by the blood. You know it. And you have to obey. If the person wants you out, they're out of agreement with you, then you have to go in Jesus' name. Yes, you want to get delivered, you have to be out of agreement. Had another call this week and somebody wanted me to do deliverance on somebody else that didn't even want it. See? They, I'm going to want to bring so-and-so to you to get delivered. Well, did they want it? Why don't they ask me themselves? See? Yeah, you know, the person has to be serious about their own deliverance before they're really going to get any. You know, if you're just doing it because so-and-so wants you to come get some, that isn't good enough. Jesus says you have to desire the desires of your heart. He'll give you, not the desires of somebody else's heart. You know, you want to deliver, then you get it. You ask for it. You pursue it. Don't wait for somebody else to do it and not even really be interested in it yourself. I've had that happen so many times. Somebody well-meaning, I'm not saying they're not well-meaning and they want good for their friend, but their friend has to want it, see? It can't just be you getting it for your friend. They have to want it. And also medication. There's another thing. Mind meds, and you want deliverance. You know, demons are subdued sometimes by mind meds, but it makes them harder to get out when they're on mind meds, right? But that's just another story. And deliverance is what we found is harder to get them out. And people are not receptive as they could be because of the mind meds and all that, you know, medication that they put you on to kind of subdue your mind, which are really subduing the demons. Yeah, but the demons are still there and they're not going anywhere. Hey, uh-huh. All right, keep coming out, all the way out. The blood of Jesus is against you. Jesus' name, that self-hatred, you come out right now. Don't like you, come out. That spirit of self-hatred, come out. I bind you, come out in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Self-hatred, come out in Jesus' name. All the way out, all that self-hatred. You got to go all the way out. Spirit of religious performance, you come out. Performance-based Christianity, come out. All that performance, religious performance, earning your way, come out, 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 up and out, all the way out, up out of there, move in Jesus' name, coming out, all the way out. All that oversensitive spirit, oversensitive, that things don't go your way, come out. You get all bent out of shape, come out. That oversensitive, sensitive to what other people do and say, come out. Being controlled by it, come out. In a sense, you're being controlled by it when you're oversensitive. Come out all the way out. People say or do the wrong thing. You're so sensitive you get offended. Come out. Come out. They don't do what you want them to do. Come out, come out, come on. That oversensitivity and that control, come out. You got to give up that control too. Yeah, come out, all the way out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out of there. All that controlling spirit. Come out, that oversensitive spirit. Go, come out. We break that control in Jesus' name, the blood of Jesus. Right now, you have to go all the way out in Jesus' name. Keep moving, keep moving, keep moving. All the way out. All the way up and out of there. Move, 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 and keep coming out, all the way out. All the way out, Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Keep going up and out. You're defeated by the blood. You know that demon. You know who you are. You know what you have to do. And when people are serious about getting you out, you know you have to go. Father, we thank you for this deliverance today. Thank you for delivering people from these spirits. And they're going to continue to get delivered, Father, because these spirits have been called out. And they may keep coming out throughout the evening. And we thank you for that deliverance, Lord, that's taking place in people. And, Lord, we seal this deliverance to the people who have received it, Father, and pray that they'll be able to walk it out, keep what they got, and continue to get more. In the name of Jesus, we praise you and worship you. In Jesus' name, we give you all the honor, all the praise, all the glory. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for our time we had together here in this place right now. Together on the broadcast, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for you loving us so much, Father, that love is being revealed more and more. But we're hungry for your love, Lord, hungry to know you more. In Jesus' name we pray you. Amen. All right, folks, well, the newsletter is done, and so we'll be emailing that out this probably tomorrow. Hopefully we'll get them all out then. If we don't, we'll get them out Monday at the latest, so... anyway, we'll be doing that. So if you don't get one, you can email me and at theoasis1@localnet.com, and we'll email you one. Also, if you'd like to write to us, P.O. Box 50162. That's P.O. Box 50162, Billings, Montana, 59105. That's 59105. All right. We love you. Thank you for listening tonight. We appreciate each one of you tuning in here, and we will see you back next week at the same time and the same place. Amen. All right.
We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And not in despair, not in despair. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed.
tonight, folks, and just want you to know that we love you, and with the best love that we can have, which is His love, we don't have, certainly not the love to love you without His love. So we love you with that, and may you be encouraged in the Lord and strengthened by Him this weekend, and find hope when it seems hopeless, and find strength when it seems like you don't have any strength. May God give it to you and strengthen you and bless you and encourage you and strengthen you in every area of your life and continue to deliver you as well. All right, well, we'll see you back next week. Bye-bye.